the book of John. Third John. The short letter. The elder. I may read. The elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. We see that introduction. Whom I love in the truth. Very important. Love and the truth. God is love. Jesus is the truth. Dear friend, I pray to you that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. Again, he has blessed him. Not only has he blessed him, his heart is filled of joy because people have come to testify about this brother. Other brothers have come. And what is their testimony? His faithfulness to the truth. That word faithfulness, sometimes we overlook it. But it means full of faith in the truth. Full. And when it's full, there's no space for any other thing. Then it says, how you continue. Your one is the faithfulness to the truth. And the second is how you continue to walk in the truth. How you continue to walk. So one is the faithfulness. The second is the continuation. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friends, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. So even strangers, we love them. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may walk together for the truth. Again, note, walk together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the first, another translation says, who loves to have preeminence. Who loves to be the first? Who loves to have preeminence? Will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. That is what Diotrephes was doing. Why? Because he loves to have preeminence. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. So, in the whole, this is what Diotrephes is doing. Now, if we compare this with the beginning, a faithful brother, full of love, walking in truth, continuing to walk in truth, and well spoken by the brothers, immediately is another brother. So we have two types of people in the church of God. Now, the Apostle John says, in conclusion, dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He gives us an advice. Don't imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. And this is very simple. That is the condition. Anyone who does what is good is from God. So there's no excuse. It's very clear. Straightforward. What are you doing? Is it good? And he goes on to say, anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Again, very clear. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. So we see he mentions somebody else again. Says, this man is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. So that even Jesus Christ is saying, this person is good. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. he concludes the letter, I have so much to write you, but I do not want you to do, I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Praise the Lord. That is the word of God. Now, how do we receive the word of God? We are all at different stages of growth spiritually. But one thing we all have is the ability to receive. But how we receive the word of God matters a lot. I can come in here feeling sleepy, feeling tired, so I can't concentrate on the word. I can come in here thinking about my finances or other problems, so I will not concentrate on the word of God. But we must know that we have an adversary. And that's why Jesus Christ told us about the parable of the sower, the different conditions of the heart. So that when the word does not bear fruit, we know why it does not bear fruit. It's falling into one of four categories. But I'm not concerned about the parable of the sower. I'm concerned about doing good, which is verse 11. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. That is the message this evening. Doing what is good. Immediately we see that there is a choice. Because earlier on he said, I have no, that's verse 3. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. So it talks of a continuation. And that is very critical. If we look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. We see here that what the word of God says, that this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you. I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him. These are clear-cut instructions. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, you are assured that he will give you many years in the land, but you have to do certain things. You must hold fast to him. He's your Lord. He's your life. Again, we see the condition of your heart. Listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. And now, what is his voice telling us? Anyone that does good is from God. But the question is, am I doing good? And we have now realized that God has given even every one of us a choice. In the part of Nigeria where I come from, mankind is referred to as eniyo. So it's a word I use nearly every day, but I never knew the real meaning until one day I met an elderly man and he was telling me about the traditional ways. And he now explained to me that eniyo means a person that can choose. A being that has a right and an ability to choose. And this is one of God's greatest gifts to us. We can choose. But many a times, we don't want to take responsibility. We want to blame the circumstances. But most, like the pastor from the Philippines, he made it, from the US, yes, he made it clear, you make choices. And sometimes you deceive yourself. And we deceive ourselves to say, this is what. No, you have made a choice. And God has told us what to choose and what we will get from choosing. Now we see that Joshua said, choose ye whom you will serve this day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a choice. Then, at the battle of the fallen children of Israel, the man of God said, if Baal be God, let fire come down. But the prophets of Baal could not bring down any fire. And when God's representative brought down fire, he again told the children of Israel, choose today whom you will serve. Again, they were given a choice. But they had seen that what they hoped in was hopeless. They flogged themselves, they beat themselves, no result. Another example, our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. So again, you have a choice. You either serve God or you serve mammon. And finally, the fourth example, we have the Apostle Paul. He says, know ye not that whom you yield to, you become slaves to, either unto righteousness, unto life, or sin to eternal death. And that confirms what the word says in Deuteronomy. I place before you life and death. Choose life. If you choose life, it will be well for you and your offspring. So this is the beginning, the choices we make. Diotrephes was an elder in the church. He did not allow others to come in. And this is John. He put his chest on Jesus, his head on Jesus' chest. And maybe Diotrephes never even knew Jesus. But John is saying, this is what he's doing. But he has commended those who did well and says even Jesus Christ is commending them. Now, even Jesus Christ today is commending us. And when we're not doing his will, he's rebuking us. Now, we have clearly established that doing good is a choice. So we now look at the question, why should I do good? Because when I want to choose, my choice is based on knowledge and information which is available to me. See, if I want to stay in a hotel in the UK now, I have to know which hotel is good, which hotel is safe, which hotel is clean. So if I know the good one, I will choose the good one. But if I'm ignorant, I might choose the one where they come and rob people or where things are. So, you make a choice. Now, let's look at Ephesians 2:10. Can someone read that for us, please? Yes.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has beforehand ordained that we should walk in them.
Praise the Lord. So you see that clearly what we were created for is clearly stated. We were created for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So every believer has a job set out by God. We just don't come here and get saved. And we get saved and just sit down doing nothing. No, before we got saved, God knew us. Now that we are saved, God has clearly told us why he saved us. So I had these confessions in my house, all over my room, different Bibles. And I used to confess this daily. I'm the workmanship of God. I am created in Christ Jesus for good works. But it now started occurring to me, what are these good works which God prepared me to do? What are these good works? Is it going to church regularly? What can they be? Then one day, God in his mercy brought to me Acts 10:38. Can someone else read that, please? The state of our minds is very, very important. Acts 10.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Praise the Lord. So, Jesus Christ went about doing good. Jesus Christ went about doing good. And I realized that, so the Bible says, do the works of Jesus. So this is what I'm meant to be doing. Let us look again at Luke 4:18. Luke 4:18.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
Praise the Lord. These are the works that God has called us to do. And Jesus Christ, before he started preaching, he had to tell us, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And why is the Spirit upon me? So that I can do these things. So he knew clearly what he was called to do. And these are the good works. These are the good works. The question then is, are we also called to do the works of Jesus? This is again very crucial, very, very important. We have heard that we're the workmanship of God. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We now know again that Jesus himself went about doing good works. So it is beyond doubt that we are called to do good works. But Diotrephes chose not to do good works because there is a right to choose. There is a power to say, I will not do it. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And it says obedience is better than sacrifice. Once we know that this is what God demands of us, and we choose, underline the word choose, not to do it, then we have become rebellious. And the word of God clearly says, the rebellious shall dwell in a dry and thirsty land. So, our faith is not a matter of jokes. It is a matter of choosing life. Jesus Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So, who do you choose? The life. You choose Jesus Christ. We're going on. Let us now look at what Jesus Christ himself says. That is in John 15. This is our Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking. But once we listen to Jesus, then there's nothing else again. We know we have heard from him. John 15, chapter 1. Verse 1. The state of our minds is very, very important. The fact that we are in a warfare is also very important. We must keep it in mind. The enemy doesn't want us to have peace. He doesn't want us to have time to understand God's word. Because he knows that this is our way of escape. So there's a warfare. And the word of God says, give no place to the devil. Adam and Eve, you saw what God had for them. Yet they gave a place to the enemy, and you saw the result. So today, when we hear the word of God, and there's something we're doing, which we know is not good, and we keep on doing it, it says, beware. Sorry, let me just quickly read Galatians. Galatians 6. Because the foundation, I'm sorry if I seem to be taking some time, but yes. Galatians 6, 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's no, you cannot deceive God. The one we have to deal with, he sees our hearts. A lot of us will not like to stand and tell things as they are. And sometimes the preachers butter it up for us. But this Christian faith, the longer I stay in it, I begin to see that it's like one and one is two. What you get is what you have sown. There is no devil anywhere that is the cause. Once you have this understanding, because the devil is a defeated foe, he says in 9, sorry, that same Galatians 6, 9, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Mm-hmm. He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, underline the word all. All men, especially unto them which are of the household of faith. So now again it says, do not be weary. You notice that in the first place it said, how you walk and you continue to walk. So it's possible that we started well, but the circumstances, the batterings of the boats of life has made us weak. We have settled into a rut. We have become habitual sinners, holding malice, grudge, bitterness, and holding that deceit in our minds that God is still with us. I'm coming somewhere. Yes, we're going somewhere, sorry. That's the Nigerian English, coming somewhere. Well, please forgive me. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11:3. 2 Corinthians 11:3. He says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Please note the word mind. That is where everything takes place. The battlefield of the mind. How do I think? How do I perceive? That man speaking is doesn't know anything. I won't listen to him. That man speaking, I've heard this before. This is the 10th time. He doesn't know more than that pastor. I was a victim of that too. I had a ministry where the man was a highly anointed man of God. So we people, you see people running from the bus stops. The church was packed full. And so once I get to that service and he's not at the pulpit, somebody else is preaching, my spirit goes down. Oh. But then one day God dealt with me and said, it's my word that you are here to listen to, not the person. The state of our minds is very important. Balaam's donkey spoke, and the mad prophet turned from his madness. The simplicity that is in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is very simple. This gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is not complicated at all. There's a lot of intellectual exercise going about all over the world now. But you find that God uses the lowly things to confound the wise. Now, let's go back to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must continue to do good. We must know that we will be rewarded. There's a big reward, and this is our joy. Matthew 6:23, I'm not very sure. It says, leap for joy, be happy. Yea, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. If our eyes are not focused on heaven, then our eyes will be focused on the things of the earth. And immediately we are out of the way. John 15:3. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. 15:1, starting from 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. God is not satisfied with just fruit. He wants more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit itself, except it abide in the vine, No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I, our Lord Jesus Christ says, am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. They are burned. This God revealed to me in a strange way. There was a big tree, and it had been cut. Some major parts of it had been cut. And I noticed that even the green leaves were still green for days. The parts that had been cut off on the floor, the trees, the leaves were still green. For days, day after day, they were still green because the branch from which it was cut off was very fat. But the fact that it had been cut off meant that it had died. A judgment had been passed on it. Choose life. If a man decides not to abide in me, he's cast off. It is again a decision. And most of the time, we don't want to hear this. We want to blame every other thing but ourselves for the position we find ourselves. Is my mother, is my father, is my brother, is my pastor? No. It is us. What choice do I make? Sister Faith gave, an example of her. And I said to myself, see how the Word of God comes together. She talked about her friend, and then she went on to read a portion of the Bible. What portion was it, please?
John 12.
And what was it talking about?
Except a grain of wheat
falls to the ground and dies. There is no place for us in the Christian walk. You say, what do I mean? Christ died to save us. It is no longer I that live. There is no place for me. It is for Christ, who is all and all. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Anything that is not of faith is sin. Without faith, you cannot please God. So, I want to do this, I want to do that for God. I want to build a house for God, I would not do this for God. No! Jesus Christ says, he is the vine, you are the branches. Whatever you do must flow to you from him. And now, what do I do to allow the life of God to flow into me? He tells us clearly, abide in me. Abide in me. Who do you choose to abide in? The world, your own way, your own desire, your own plans, your own goals. Sister Faith also said something that, or was it a song we sang here? You have to give everything up. Your plans, your aspirations, your great goals. I'm a perfect example. I felt I had a good law practice. I had a good income. I felt my money was coming from my hard work. I was going to church. I was ministering on Monday mornings in a local church by my house. But then, when God saved my life, Pastor Eni said, when we call on God in the day of trouble, we answer us. And I went through 3 years plus now, and I realized that it's not that money that I'm working for that is keeping me. God is the provider. It's not that work that is sustaining me. And one day I was walking back from Waitrose, and I said, see how great this God is. He strips you of everything you cling onto. I'm a big engineer. I'm the PM. There are things we cling onto to make us feel worthwhile. This is my house. I am a citizen of this. I have so-so-so. I'm married to so-so-so. So many things. But they say, no, it's only Christ. And so I was lucky or blessed by God to be able to experience a pruning, a shedding, and to be left naked. And look at the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Left his glory in heaven and came and died naked on the cross beaten, battered, and broken. And note, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God left him, but he had faith in God. Because if he had not had that faith, he would not have been raised on the third day. So we see clearly that a total reliance on God and his plan for our lives is the only way. And somebody said that this evening too. Pastor Eni preached reconciliation. We were dead in sin and trespasses. God brought us back to him. Dead. And in that Romans 5, he says, now we shall live by his life, not by our own life anymore. We are kept by his life. And now that life is the life of the vine flowing into the branch. So at this stage, I have to try and just round up. I'll take two practical examples. If we sit down and we look at Joshua 1:8, meditate on the word of God day and night. We look at Deuteronomy 6:6, teach it to your children. Tell them while they are walking on the road, while they are standing, while they are sitting. You look at Psalm 1, the tree planted by the riverside. Because of the word, day and night. Then you look at Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. You find that God's instruction clearly doesn't give room for any other thing than a continuous meditation on his word. Why? Because we have been programmed wrong from birth. And I asked my wife the other day, I said, did Jesus ever say myself and the Father are one? Can I ask anybody the answer to that question? Did Jesus ever say so? He said, myself and the Father are one. Now, at the main church there we have it, in him does the fullness of God dwell, in Jesus Christ. Now, if Jesus and the Father are one, and the fullness of God dwells in him, and I'm the branch and he's the vine, what does that mean? That God has come to dwell in man. God is with us, Emmanuel. His name shall be called Emmanuel. God has now decided that we're no longer strangers. We're citizens of heaven. We have come to Mount Zion, the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We're in the company of innumerable angels. We're in the presence of God, the judge of all. When the presence of spirits of just men made perfect, when the presence of Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, when the presence of the blood of sprinkling. Now, I want us to spend time thinking about this. Look at our position. He raised us up with Jesus, seated us with him in heavenly places at his right hand, far above principalities and powers. He made Jesus Christ the head of the body. All things are under his feet. We are members of that body. The fullness of God is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ now says we are the branches. He is the vine. His life is flowing through us. In that life flowing through us, does the fullness of God stop only in Jesus? Or it comes into us too? Why are we as believers unable to accept what God has done for us? The weapons of our warfare. They are not carnal. They are mighty through God. So the pulling down of strongholds. There are strongholds erected in the lives of the believers over the years. I am a poor sinner. I just humbly beg God. Now, Prince Charles doesn't see himself as a poor prince. The Bible says we are kings and priests unto God. We're joint heirs with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why doesn't that sink in? Because until we decide to choose to start pulling down that stronghold of unbelief and begin to see the life of God pouring into us, we begin to see ourselves joined with Jesus Christ. And we begin to take this word seriously. If you do not abide in me, I will cut you off. Because if you do not abide, you cannot bear fruit. So if his life is not in you, you cannot have peace. And you cannot manifest peace around you. And that's why sometimes we're all troubled. It says, be anxious over nothing. Why can I afford to be anxious over nothing? Because my fellowship is with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, the one by whom all things were made, for whom all things were made, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Is now one with me. He has made me His own child. He has put His life inside me. That's why the Apostle Paul reminded them. He said, examine yourself whether you are still in the faith. Examine yourself. Are you living by faith in this finished work of Jesus Christ? Are you receiving His life? Are you abiding in Him? Why? Because if you do not, you'll be cut off and you'll be cast into the fire. And then there'll be a fruitless life. And then there'll be strife and arguments and anger, bitterness. We'll be fighting each other. There's so much to say on this. Romans 12:5 says, in Christ, we though many, we are one body. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, all of us too, we are one. Now, Ephesians 2:20 says, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. The apostles are the foundation. We can check these things later. Now, Jesus Christ Himself now says, I will give you a comforter. He will be with you for a few years. For how long? Forever. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me too. Is it that same Spirit that Jesus gave to us that is with us forever? That it was the same Spirit that anointed Jesus? How can we do the works of Jesus if we don't start from this starting point? This is the secret, the mystery that was hidden for ages. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is no longer I that live. It is Christ that lives in me. Can Christ be taken down by Satan, by poverty, by lack, by disease? But if I don't meditate on this, can I lay hands on the sick and they will get well if it is not Christ doing it? But when I'm trying to do it in my own strength, how will they get well? But once I meditate day and night, I begin to see what God has done for me. My joy no longer resides in this, a big house, a big car. Jesus Christ said, if you are not faithful with the true riches, with the ungodly mammon, who will bless you with the true riches? That tells us that there are two types of riches. And we have seen lives transformed by true riches. Mary, Queen of the Scots, she said, the whole army of Scotland, I'm not afraid of them. But one man on his knees, John Knox, I'm afraid of him. One man on his knees. And so today, we too can do the works of Jesus. We have gone beyond touching the hem of His garments. Because if He's the vine, I'm the branch, am I still going outside Him to touch the... I'm now one with Him. His life is now in me. I might be... And that's why the Apostle Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. There is a place for growth. There is a place for growth. There is a place for accepting the truth of the word. I know that our sister Faye would not die. She will live to declare the words of Lord. Why? Because that is the word of God and He does not lie. The word of God says He is the vine, she is the branch. The life of God is flowing through her body. That life of God in her quickens her mortal body. And we have to keep our eyes on this. Because once we take our eyes away, then we remember Peter. Lord, I'm sinking, help me. Says, why, O man of little faith? And faith is not something we beg God for. God has given to every man a measure of faith. And we were saved because of that faith, not by ourselves. And God went on to tell us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So, look at the young people now. Tell them to sing one Michael Jackson song. Sorry, I'm using Michael Jackson. That was my time. But I don't know which one are the rap ones now. Those ones are even more horrible. Tell them to sing. You can't even understand what that rap artist is saying. But tell them to sing that song. They know it to the last breath. Because they listen to it in their car in the morning over and over and over again. So we too need to be reprogrammed. Continuous listening to the word. Ministry continual in prayer and in the ministry of the word. We cannot be half leg in the kingdom, half leg in the world, and expecting results. We cannot be gossiping about each other, telling stories about each other, and expect anything. Sorry, I've taken so much time. But I will conclude. This is the last bit. He sends the Comforter. Now, we all know that we're one in Christ. And what holds us together? The Spirit of God. And in Romans 8, if you read the whole Romans 8, I would have read it, but time. He says, anyone that does not have the Spirit of God is not his. And if you have that Spirit, that is the mark of the believer. That is the mark of the believer. The Spirit of Christ in you. Now, Paul said, forbearing with one another in love. He says, if you don't do that, you will tear one another apart. How many ministries, how many churches have we seen destroyed because the devil is a lawyer? He knows the law. Where there is strife, there is every kind of evil. When they gather together in one accord, signs and wonders accompany the ministry. So now, once we know this truth, that we're one, what do I do? Brother Marine does something very upsetting and terrible to me. But he's a believer. The word of God says, do good to all men. I'm not going to say, I will act in the flesh. As many as are led by the Spirit, those are the sons of God. So I'm going to allow the Spirit of God in me. I abide in Christ. I will start thinking thoughts of love towards him. I will start saying words of love towards him. It's a choice I must make. Because if I make the other choice, I've gone to the bad. And let nobody be deceived. We will reap what we sow. And there's a weapon of our warfare. Capturing every thought and subjecting it to Christ. Casting down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That imagination that tells you that you can still think bad of Brother Marine because of what he did to you. You are justified and you will get away with it. No! You've gone out of the way. You're about to be cut off. So, you make that decision. So no matter how bad, you now remember the word. I'm living by the word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by the word that comes from God. Overcome evil with good. Pray for those that despisefully use you. You see, this is the word of God. Now, your body is aching. The pains are there. God doesn't lie. By the stripes of my Lord Jesus Christ, I have been healed. He bore my sicknesses. He took my diseases on that cross of Calvary. He took my sin. That's why I'm saved. I stand on him. Father, I thank you for my healing. I pray for Sister Onye, my wife. There is no change in her condition. I believe God. He says if I lay hands on the sick, they will be healed. Father, thank you for her healing. I encourage her. We have to learn to walk by faith. As you have therefore received Christ, so therefore walk ye in him. How did we receive him? By faith, we believed. So when we take any step, it says anything that is not of faith is sin. We'll close now because let us thank God for this message. Thank God that he's calling us to a place of revival. He's calling us to a place of pulling down strongholds in our lives that makes us not to go beyond coming here, getting blessed for ourselves. He's calling us to a place whereby anywhere we are, at the office, at the work, people will say, I want what you have. And then we bring them to where we worship. Because they see Christ in us. That's what God is calling us to now. The times are indeed very dark. And this is the time for us to arise, virgin daughter of Zion. Pull the bands from your neck. This is the time. Father, we ask that you help us to know that you have given us only three things. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, love for one another, and our hope for heaven. Those are the three things that matter in the gospel. Faith in that finished work. And we must continue in it. We ask, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you help us to love one another. Because you said, by this shall men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. And, O Lord, you said we should set our mind on things above, not things on earth. Help us, O Lord, to keep our mind in heaven. To know that there is a reward, that when this world and all its show passes away, there is one that is eternal, where we'll be forever. Father, we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.